naturalists, if they found they didn't like where it was leading them, they were able to give it up. They didn't say, we've got to stick to this, even if it kills us, because this is the right way to live. For example, there was once a people who constructed a vast network of irrigation canals to farm the deserts of southeastern Arizona. They maintained these canals for 3,000 years, but in the end they were free to say, this is a toilsome and unsatisfying way to live, so to hell with it. They walked away from their whole civilization and put it so totally out of mind that we don't even know what they called themselves. The only name we have for them is the one the Pima Indians gave them, Hohokam, those who vanished. But it's not going to be this easy for the takers. It's going to be hard as hell for them to give it up, because what they're doing is right, and they have to go on doing it, even if it means destroying the world and mankind with it. Yes, that's the way it seems. Giving it up would mean what? Giving it up would mean, it would mean that all along they've been wrong. It would mean that they'd never known how to rule the world. It would mean relinquishing their pretensions to godhood. It would mean spitting out the fruit of that tree and giving the rule of the world back to the gods. Yes. Ishmael nodded to the stack of Bibles at my feet. Who were the authors of this story? Well, the Hebrews. Ishmael shook his head. Among the people known as the Hebrews, this was already an ancient story and a mysterious story. The Hebrews stepped into history as takers, wanted nothing more than to be like their taker neighbors. Indeed, that's why their prophets were always bawling them out. True. So, though they preserved the story, they no longer fully understood it. To find the people who understood it, we have to find its authors. And who were they? Well, they were the ancestors of the Hebrews. But who were they? I'm afraid I have no idea. The ancestors of the Hebrews were the Semites. Oh, right. Among my books, Ishmael said, you'll find an historical atlas. Please get it and turn to the map for 8500 B.C. I did so, and found I was looking at a map of Europe and the Middle East. A curved blade nearly cut the Arabian Peninsula away from the rest. The words incipient agriculture indicated that this blade enclosed the Fertile Crescent. You see where your agricultural revolution began, Ishmael said, in the land between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers. You should note that at this point, these early takers, the founders of your culture, were unknown, isolated, unimportant. The next map in that historical atlas is 4,000 years later. What would you expect to see on it? I'd expect to see that the takers have expanded. He nodded, and I turned the page. Here a printed oval labeled Chalcolithic cultures, with Mesopotamia at its center, enclosed the whole of Asia Minor and all the land to the north and east as far as the Caspian Sea and the Persian Gulf. The oval extended southward as far as the entrance to the Arabian Peninsula, which was a cross-hatched area labeled Semites. As you can see from this map, the Semites were not the people of the Fall. The people of the Fall lived hundreds of miles to the north of the Semites. Do you see who they were? According to the map, they were the Caucasians. Now, in 4500 B.C., the Semites are encountering the people of the Fall in their own front yard. They're confronting the expansion of the takers. Yes, I see. In 4,000 years, the agricultural revolution that began in the land between the rivers had spread across Asia Minor to the west, and to the mountains in the north and the east, and to the south it seemed to have been blocked by what? By the Semites, apparently. Why? Why were the Semites blocking it? I don't know. What were the Semites? Were they agriculturalists? No, I said, the map makes it clear that they weren't a part of that revolution, so I assume they were leavers. Leavers, yes, but no longer hunter-gatherers. They had evolved another adaptation that was to be traditional for Semitic peoples. Oh, they were pastoralists. Of course, herders. He indicated the border between the Takers' Chalcolithic culture and the Semites. So, what was happening here? I don't know. Ishmael nodded toward the Bibles at my feet. Read the story of Cain and Abel in Genesis, then you'll know. I picked up the one on top and turned to chapter 4. A couple of minutes later, I muttered, Good Lord. After reading the story in all three versions, I looked up and said, What was happening along that border was that Cain was killing Abel. The tillers of the soil were watering their fields with the blood of Semitic herders. Of course, What was happening there was what has always happened along the borders of Taker expansion. The Leavers were being slaughtered so that more land could be put under cultivation. At the border that separates tillers of the soil from Semitic herders, Cain and Abel confront each other. I studied the map for a few moments and then shook my head. And biblical scholars don't understand this? Biblical scholars read this story as if it were set in an historical never-never land like one of Aesop's fables. It wouldn't occur to them to understand it as a piece of Semitic war propaganda. That's what it is, all right. So it's been a mystery as to why God accepted Abel's offering and rejected Cain's. You've explained it. With this story, the Semites were telling their children, God is for us. He loves us herders, but hates those murderous tillers of the soil from the north. That's right. If you read it as a story that originated among your own cultural ancestors, it's incomprehensible. It only begins to make sense when you realize that it originated among the enemies of your cultural ancestors. Yes. I sat there blinking for a few moments, then looked at Ishmael's map again. If the tillers of the soil from the north were Caucasians, I said, then the mark of Cain is this. I pointed to my own fair or maggot-colored face. It could be. Obviously, we'll never know for sure what the authors of the story had in mind. But it makes sense this way, I insisted. Cain was given the mark as a warning to others. Leave this man alone. This is a dangerous man, one who exacts a sevenfold vengeance. Certainly a lot of people all over the world have learned that it doesn't pay to mess with people with white faces. Ishmael shrugged, unconvinced or perhaps just uninterested. The next day, an uncle of mine arrived unannounced and expected to be entertained. I thought it would be a day, but it turned out to be three. Just before I took him to the airport, I received an ultimatum from a client. No more excuses, do the work now or send back the advance. I said I'd do the work